I want to read just a little bit and let you think on it, criticize it, find fault with it, or accept it, whichever one you feel to do. I want you to turn to Revelation 10. I want to read just a little bit from some scriptures. I'd like to talk with you a little bit because if I preach, and I do, Paul said I'm a preacher and a teacher. If I preach to you and I get excited, which is hard for me not to do, but if I get real excited, then I get in a hurry and I say things in more of a compact manner, and you don't understand it quite as well when it comes to the teaching of the revelation. But if I take my time, you tell me that you understand it better. And we've been doing that now for several lessons. And the lessons that, unless the brethren are deceiving me, they say that it has been a tremendous enlightenment to them. Let me say this as we go to read now. First of all, remember, the Bible tells us that we should have a certain prayer that we pray. And I know Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven. I realize that. Thy kingdom come, the will of God be done, as in heaven, so in earth. But there's another prayer that we're told to pray, and this prayer is that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, folks, you're going to be in trouble when the translation takes place. So pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Now, I can preach the word to you. I can tell you the word, and that's wonderful because you need to know the word. Study to show yourself approved. But at the same time, Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they're alive. They are not life unless they become spirit, because there is no life except the spirit. That's the only life that there is. Therefore, all of the churches of the world today that are learning the Bible, even if they learn it to the extent that they can memorize it and quote it verbatim, like Satan did to Jesus on the mountain, there's still no life to it. Absolutely no life to it. It must become spirit to become life. And spirit is revelation. The stimulation, as it has been said, of revelation. So then the stimulation of the word, that is life. And sometimes we say strange things to you, and I know they sound strange, but really they're not strange nor foreign to a child of God who has the Spirit of God. The first thing to remember is this, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. No matter how intellectual, smart, and brilliant he is, if he's a professor, if he's a scientist, or whatever, he receiveth not the things of God. And the Bible said, with all of his lifetime of study, neither can he know them. For they are spiritually discerned. There is no means of studying and learning these things. They are spiritually discerned. The men of old wrote the Bible as they were moved by the Spirit. Thus it must be interpreted the same. The natural man, the carnal-minded man, receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. They are foolishness to him. For God has chosen the foolish and abased things of this world to confound the intellectual scholars and the wise. But he hath made this revelation unto babes, such as we'll learn. Now God did this that he might be the preeminent in all things, that he might have the great preeminence. He hid it from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, making it revelation to them that will hunger and thirst, even though they be babes, they can still learn it. God did this that he might be the great preeminence of all things, that no flesh may glory in the presence of God, saying, look what I have accomplished. neither in word, nor in deed, nor in good works. For the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All of them is gone astray. All of them have corrupted their way before God. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He is the one that was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace, of the transgressions that we made. God took them away through him, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. Now, we've all gone astray like sheep. Every man's turned to his own way, looked to his own quarter for his own gain. He alone can be exalted in that day. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we ask the question, what does God mean as it was in the days of Noah? There's numbers of things that he meant, such as eating and drinking, reveling and doing the things of the world. But the principal thing that God was saying is that all flesh in the days of Noah had corrupted its way before God. And at the coming of Jesus, it will be again that all flesh has corrupted its way. So then just one great figure will be preeminent, Jesus. So then let's confess our sins, our wrongs, put them away from us. He that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins shall prosper. But if a man covereth his sins, he shall not prosper. All right, now, in the light of these things, I want to read this, and I want you to think now, as we talk about these things tonight, I want you to just stop and think and let these things register, because I'm going to say some things, if the Lord allows me to, if he will come and speak through me, and you know he has to do that, it has to be the mind of God. Now, if he will, then I'm going to say some things that it's going to be hard for you to understand unless you listen real close. If you listen real close, then you'll understand. But the Bible says the wicked shall not understand. The righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. And they shall not see, that is, with their eyes of understanding, they shall not see when good cometh. All right. Reason for that, God has hid it from them, and the god of this world, even Satan, the god of darkness, hath blinded their eyes with that darkness that they should not see. Revelation 10, we've read this a number of times, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, let's say this again. The angel of Revelation 10, it was stated that in the days of the voice, that the mysteries of God should be finished. Now, I say again in the original rendering of this, it says the secret. It says the secret. It does not say the angel. It says in the days of the messenger. And it does not say mystery. It says the secret. In the days of the voice of the messenger, the seventh angel, as we call him, in the days of that voice, there's going to come some days, there's going to come a season, there's going to come a time, John said. It will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just like it's always been. But there's going to be some days when there's going to be a voice that's going to start saying some things. It's going to be a messenger, and he's going to start saying some things. And the things that he says is going to be revealing secrets. Whereas it was said of Jesus, things that was hid from the foundation of the world. But in the days of this voice, when this voice begins to say these things, when this messenger begins to speak, there's going to be some secrets that's going to be made known, things that had never been made known before. And people are going to start learning some things that they never did know before. Because the secrets of God should be finished. For the Bible said, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. When we say the shadow of the Almighty, I want to remind you of this again. We are saying the types and the shadows of the Old Testament teaching. David called this the shadow of death. For yea, though I walk through the shadow, or the valley that is, beneath the shadow, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me. The Spirit and the Word comfort me, are thy rod and thy staff. Though you look down from heaven, God, and you see this world as a valley, and there is a great heavy overcast over this valley, which is the spirit of Lucifer, or Satan, the carnal mind of death. This thing that has come about because of the garden experience and because of the fall, this great veil of this great covering of death is laying over this valley. And David said, though I be beneath the shadow, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I have a promise from God. I have a rod, which is a staff, and a rod, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And they are a comfort to me. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. They are a comfort to me. I have these things, David said, therefore I will fear no evil. My heart is fixed. Evil tidings shall not trouble me. I found faith in God. Now, in looking at this great, wonderful experience, David said, I'm under the shadow. When Moses came, Moses made us to understand more about the shadows. When Paul came, Paul really made us to understand the shadows, because he was a revelator of shadows and a revealer of mysteries and secrets. The revelation was made known to Paul. He had the spirit of revelation, being learned in all of the ways of the Hebrew people, being blameless as touching the law. God could therefore, through that virgin-like body as it was with Mary, bring forth the Christ. God could bring forth the Jesus in the womb of Mary. As a virgin, he could bring forth Jesus, a human body, as we would say, in the womb of Mary. But Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Now, in the heart of Paul, because of his virginity, God could bring forth not the Jesus, but the Christ. He could bring forth a mind, a revelation, a life, a power within the image of Paul, because Paul recognized that he was bone of the bone of Jesus, that he was flesh of the flesh of Jesus, by the foreknowledge of God and by the predestinated word of God. Therefore, having full confidence and full faith, he became as Enoch. He said, I see the mystery of Enoch. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Therefore, Paul said, behold, I've discovered a mystery. I have been caught up to the third heaven, or I know such a one. He said, I have been caught up to the third heaven, and I saw things that was not possible for me to utter. I saw these wonderful things. Paul said, I saw them in heaven. I saw these great, wonderful things in heaven. How do you remember my vision that I saw in heaven? Now, he said, I saw these great, wonderful things in heaven. But they were not permitted for me to speak. It was out of season. It would have translated the church. It would have wrecked up everything. Or it would have interfered with God's plan. But Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not all of us is going to die, Paul said. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awake him. Not all of us is going to die. Paul said, there's going to be a generation of people that's going to make a discovery. And this is, as of now, a great mystery, Paul said. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God shall be finished. Now then today, Brother Parnell and I was discussing this thing as we went down the road in the Lincoln. There was something taking place driving down the road in that Lincoln. You remember Brother Atlas' vision about the presidential thing? Only about four of those cars and the president got one of them. Now, as we discussed this today, he was speaking to me of what God had told him, and I was speaking to him of what God had told me. Christians talking and exchanging thoughts. But I was speaking today concerning this one thing. We have a message. The title of it is, God hath no pleasure in death. And we speak of the translation of Enoch. He had this testimony that before he went away, that he pleased God. And the only way that he could please God was that he did not fear death, nor believe that death had any power over him. In that God hath no pleasure in death, then the pleasure of God is just the opposite, and that is in life. So then, believing that he would not die, thus he pleased God. And his faith was imputed unto him as righteousness, and he did not see death. He went on to be with God. Now, when we think of the valley of this shadow, we think of time. This angel made the statement, time shall be no more. Seven angels, Revelation 8, the blood coming off of the mercy seat, and the seven angels sounding. Now, I want you to notice this now. Again, here is the church ages closing out in the third chapter. Here is the fourth chapter, and there is a door open in heaven. And we said that it is the same door that was open at Calvary, because Jesus said, I'm the door. That is, the law and the prophets were until Calvary. But since that time, there is a door open in heaven. If I be lifted up between heaven and earth, I'll make a door, he said. There's the door. I am that door, Jesus said to the sheepfold. I am that door. I am that door, as he said to you and me as his sheep. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the door. I am the door, Peter. And here is the key to it. The kingdom of God is now at hand. Pray ye therefore, Father, thy will be done now on earth as it's been done in heaven. Now here you come down to earth, and here you come down to talk with us. Now then, your will is done in heaven,
But now let's set up your kingdom here. Let's set up your laws here. Let's set up your pleasure here. What is his pleasure? That we should not see death. For he hath no pleasure in death. Why is it that God doesn't have any pleasure in death? Because the only way that God as a spirit can relate to his kingdom or his creation, which is the things here in this world, it is within human instrumentality. The only way that God can enjoy a tree, the only way that God can enjoy fruit, is when you eat it and when you sit under the shade tree. God receives inspiration through you. This is why fallen angels inhabit bodies. Fallen angels can feed off of inspiration that they are cut off from. They savor the things that be of this world. They love the things of this world. Because the things of this world offer inspiration. They can get like a parasite. They can infest the tree. Demons, like in Mary 7, demons can come into you, and demons can live your life like a parasite. And they can sap every bit of the life out of you, and they overcharge your passions, and they overcharge your appetite, in that they are a spirit, angels greater than man. It takes more inspiration for them, as we have taught in the past. Overcharge the appetite. You can see that in the day we're living in. Men twice as big as they ought to be. Women twice as big as they ought to be. Dope. Passions just burning like a fire. Men can't be satisfied. One wife, two wives, three wives, seven wives. Overcharging the appetites and burning up the human body. They're literally burning up the body. They're wrecking the body by overcharging it. And they are deceitfully using dope to get control of the minds of the people, working through their human instrumentality to get control of the humanity of the earth, that Lucifer may live in an individual, personify himself in a beast, because that's all that man is, personify himself in a beast, and through a computerized system, control the entire mass humanity or the world system, causing the world to bow to him and taking his demon spirits, angels, and putting them in human bodies to where they can live through the inspiration of natural, tangible sources of matter. God, who made the human body, Adam, he made it for himself so that he could live in it, so that he could get this great inspiration, so that when he could be a high priest in the heart of mankind and be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. God made man for this purpose, but he made man to begin with without any infirmities. He made man in such a way that man could not praise God, nor love God, nor care for God, because man didn't see anything in God. There was nothing man could see in God. What had God done for man? There was no proof that God had made man. Why, man could have argued with God and said, "How do you know that you made me? I don't know, but I made you." But when God subjected man to vanity, when God put him down into a place to where he was in a valley under a shadow of death, and man began to suffer, man began to have good, and man began to have evil, when God allowed Adam to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then that knowledge of good and evil made him to be subjected to vanity. And through this, God could reveal himself to man. No other way God could do it. No other way God could do it. God had to reveal himself through man by letting something be bad and something be good. The bad is what shows up the good. And God, by light and darkness, manifested himself to man, because you cannot see light. Scientists will tell you that you cannot see light. Therefore, light must be revealed, and that by means of shadows or of darkness. And so then God, making himself manifest to man, he had to do it by means of the darkness and the light, the bitter and the sweet. And man had to learn to differentiate between the two, that he might have God revealed to him, and at the same time as he comprehended God, he might also learn that there was a goodness with God, a blessing with God, that God was doing something for him and deliver him from this awfulness of that which was just the opposite of what he wanted and what he desired. Therefore, it is a beautiful thing that God has done. God, the great light, under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see, Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality, and he has said to us, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. Like a jackstone, you know. The heights this way from Calvary, the depths this way from Calvary, Calvary being the central object. And then when we want to comprehend the heights, depth, width, length, we go this way, this way, and this way. Well, that is, we break it down this way, sectionally speaking. We break it down in a sectional thing. And then we break it down this way in a dimensional thing, first, second, third dimension. Then we break it down this way in a first power, second power, or third power. As we move on from the power of the law across Calvary to the power of the resurrection and on and on and on. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. God has made it using Jesus as the central theme of his thought. And he's made it to where we can comprehend God. Now, the Bible said, if the light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, they got what they call a black light. There is a light within humanity. That light is Lucifer. He has been in heaven, the world of light. He is an angel. He is a light. He transforms himself into an angel of light, but he is darkness, and the light that you receive when you get him, though it be an understanding, though it be an enlightenment, yet it is darkness, for he is the ruler of the darkness. And how great is that darkness, or how deep is the depths of that which is ever learning and never able to find the bottom of that bottomless pit of knowledge. We understand how that we come to know God, since we can't see God, can't feel God, can't hear God. The only thing that's relative to God is Jesus Christ. His Spirit alone is the mediator between God and man. And I say this so often, Christ within you, the hope of glory. And the reason that Christ in you is the hope of glory is because the Bible says he alone was made heir to the glory of God. Therefore, if he's the only heir to the glory of God, then you cannot get to that glory except you have the heir in your heart, and that makes you heir to the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of that glory. Now, when we think of this, realize what God is doing, then we know what he means when it says that we are in the valley of the shadow. Paul, seeing this, he got a revelation. He looked back. He spoke of Abraham. He said Abraham's wives. There was three wives there. Abraham had a wife, Sarah, Hagar. Had a wife, Keturah. See, all three, the Jews, the Gentiles, all of them shown there, the Jews, the Catholics, the Gentiles, all the Protestants, as we say, religiously speaking, Jewish religion, Catholic religion, Protestant religion, all three children of Abraham, or that is to say, everybody comes from God. Everybody comes from God. God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has His way in all things. God rules in the affairs of men. God is the one that made us all. But we have different mothers. That's the difference. The difference is in the mother. That's where the difference comes in. See, humanity as a whole, their bodies are referred to as women. And they are referred to as mothers. That produces, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. This mother produces an image. This mother produces a child. This mother produces in your heart a child for God. And that child is of the 1, 2, 3. That child is either of that bonds or the free. It is either of the Gentiles, of the Jew, of the church. There is a production within your heart of two children, either good or evil. Good or evil. So then there is a difference. Sarah, Paul said, is a type, a shadow, a type of the heavenly Jerusalem. Hagar, he said, is a type of old Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, that is, to the laws of Moses, answering to Mount Sinai, he said. Now, which refers to the bonds child of the sinful one that is in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. All of this is seen in the days of Noah, in Ham, Shem, and Japheth. It's always seen this way. The two sides are seen of the body and the spirit. When you look at Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And yet the children had never been born, had done no good nor evil. But that it might not stand by works, but by election, God having the preeminence, he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? Because he looked way down through the telescope of time and looked way out to the end of things. And he saw that Esau would marry a heathen woman. And he saw that Esau would be wretched. And though Esau would repent with tears, he wouldn't change his life. Isn't that the condition of the church today? The church world today will cry. As the world says, crocodile tears. They'll weep and they'll cry. And they'll say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. But they do just like Esau done. They go right back to the same thing. They don't change their lives. They can't change their lives because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. You've got to have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you if you change your life. And so then they don't change their lives. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but found no place of repentance because he had sold his birthright for the beggarly elements of this world. When his belly cried for food, for a morsel of bread, he sold his birthright, which proves, as God said, that the serpent is upon his belly, and upon his belly shall he go all the days of his life, and dust shall be his meat. That's why that the people of this world, they have to live off of the vegetation, that which is grown out of the dust. That's why that everything relates back to the earth. They are made of the dust. But we which are born to the Spirit, we are not of this world. We are not relative of the earth. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Therefore, we don't love the things of this world, and we don't care for the things of this world, because we love heavenly things. Our conversation is in heaven. Our thinking is in heaven. Our desire is in heaven. All that we are is heavenly. Therefore, we don't desire the things of this earth. We are not in bondage to the body. We're not even in the flesh anymore. That is the carnal mind. Whereas the carnal mind means carnal things. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual, shall I not reap of your carnal things? That is somebody that thinks about houses and lands and all the convenience of career and whatever in this world. But we're not of this world. But Lucifer infests the body. He savors the things that be of the world. He loves the things that be of the world. And the reason for that is because he's cut off from things that be of heaven. He wanders through the dry places. That is, he doesn't get the inspiration of life. See, a person all cast down, that person can't hardly go. They're all cast down. Why are they like that? Because Lucifer has them. There's a devil, a melancholy devil, or a devil that's lonely, or a devil of grief, or a devil of jealousy, or a devil of hate, a devil of theft, a devil of murder. All of these devils, they infest the body. They come into the body and they work in the body. They infiltrate the flesh. That's why we cannot live in the flesh. That's why we must reckon ourselves to be dead to the body by Jesus Christ's sufferings and buried in the water baptism in His name. That's why we must come forth into new life, where the Bible said all things have passed away, or all things have passed away. And behold, we are a new creature in Christ, and we are, as the songwriter said, in a new world, since Christ Jesus saved you and me. Now, when we see this, we see what Satan is doing. I brought out the other day of the gold, the ultimate gold of God. What He intended to do. How does these shatters come about? Why are these shatters here? All of those things are typical that we spoke of. He that dwelleth or abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, he shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. If you can do like Paul and get under that shadow and understand those types and shadows, then you're going to know the secret things, for that is the secret place of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that God is hiding in the shadows. The song said, standing somewhere in the shadows. And the Bible said, God hath veiled Himself with darkness. Or that is to say, that intellectual reasoning, a gross darkness, that is Lucifer's infiltration, the ruler of the intellectual mind, the ruler of darkness. God saying to Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. Lucifer, that ruler of darkness, has infiltrated man's spirit or his mind, and God, the life, is hid within the nucleus. You've got to split the atom to get the power. So then on the other tapes and messages, we explain these things to where you can understand in detail. But staying with the theme of our thought tonight, God hath no pleasure in death, as we said in one of our messages. What must we do to bring God pleasure? Escape death. Why is it God's pleasure for us to escape death? Because I say again, God doesn't have any right to humanity or His kingdom, which He must enjoy through human instrumentality. God doesn't have any right to it, any way to get to it, unless He does it through a human being. And if the human being dies, David said in the grave, I can't praise Thee, Lord. I can't glorify Your name. I can't say to Brother Taylor, say hallelujah, glory to God. I can't holler hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. If I go down to the grave, God hath no pleasure in death. So then God is life. God is life, and death is the enemy of God. And God hates death and evil. The Bible said David hated evil with a perfect hatred. And not only evil, but the Bible said David hated the wicked. David said, the wicked, you wicked people, he said, that will be contrary to my Savior. He said, I hate you with a perfect hatred. Now, when we look at these things and we think of these things, we think of the days of the voice, the finishing of the mystery. In the days of the finishing of the mystery, write not the thunders, John, for in the days of the voice, the finishing of the mystery, the angel of God will make this known. God will finish the mysteries. Every mystery He will finish it, for the things of God have an end. All of the mysteries of God will be made known. Man will know as he has known when that which is perfect is come. But as long as there is a day apart, and this man with his ministry, and that man with his ministry, and this church denomination of Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian and Pentecostal and Catholic, as long as that exists in the world, then the body of Jesus Christ is chopped all in pieces. The Bible said at Calvary they could find no seams in that robe. It was the interwoven, and it was woven throughout. So then, as the song says, made by his mother, woven throughout. Now, I know they say Blessed Mary, Mother of God. I know that, but that's not true. She was the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God. Somebody would say, well, Jesus was God. The Bible said Jesus was made a man. And if Jesus was God in the sense that you're saying he's God, why did he say to the people that looked at him, he said, you've never seen his image at any time. The reason was he was made in the image of man. He was made in the image of man, and he became the image of God through the resurrection as he put off the sinful image of man. He came down and was made in the likeness of Adam. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then we see God manifesting himself in a human body. We see God making himself man. God walking the earth in man. God's pleasure is to be in man. God wants to walk the earth in man. Somebody said, be careful now, Brother Pike. You're going to give man God's glory. You don't have to give man God's glory. God's already give man his glory. When he manifested the man Jesus Christ, he glorified him with his own glory. And Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world ever was. The Bible said his glory he will not give to another. He's not going to give it to a natural man other than the overshadowing through grace of the days of grace of the blessing. But I say again, we're not another. Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that you glorified me with. We're not another. We're his own body. We're bone of his bone. We're flesh of his flesh. Therefore, God has given us the hope of that glory, even Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For when he appears, we know that we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. No man shall be above his master. But if you can believe, to them that believe gave you the power to become the sons of God. And everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. The Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. Having justified us, sanctified us, and now the Bible says glorified us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What can we do then but believe? I must believe in justification of my spirit. I must believe in the sanctification of my soul. I must believe in the glorification of my body. Because it's all finished at Calvary. It is a finished work even before the world ever was. In the foreknowledge of God. Now you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this, that man's world is nothing but thinking. Man's world is nothing but thoughts. His world is thoughts. Now listen to me. A world consists of nothing but a state of mind, that's all. I know people would dispute it, but as I said earlier, if this is not true, if life doesn't consist of just a state of mind, or that is a world, why is it that if a man becomes what they call a vegetable, why is it that he doesn't have a world? We say life is the see, life is the taste, life is the hear, life is the feel. That's truth. But how does he do that? Through his understanding. Through his brain, that's the only way. If that isn't true, why is Chuck dead from the waistline down? Why is that? Because he's cut off in that part from the communication to the brain. The thinking, his legs are still there, his nerves are still there, his blood is still there, but what happened to his world? It's his thinking. If a man becomes a vegetable, he can still see, he can still hear, he can still feel as far as his hand. But he doesn't have any world. Because the world consists of thoughts. Now, this is why the Bible said that God has set the world in your heart. The world is in your heart. What is the world? As a man thinketh in his heart. Even so, if that be right, then heaven is also a state of mind. For the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within you or your heart. For God has set up his kingdom. What is God's kingdom in a man's heart? It is the mind of Christ. It is the mind of faith. It is the tree of life. What is the mind of death or the world? For to be worldly minded, carnally minded, is to have Lucifer. It is the mind of Lucifer. It is the tree of knowledge. It is that of good and evil, where he hath been the world of good, but is also become the ruler of the darkness. Therefore, it is good and evil. He knows both. Darkness is carnal reasoning. Now then, God doesn't know any evil. There is no evil in the mind of Christ. It's all good. The tree of life is good. Adam had access to good. But what overthrew him was mixing the darkness with light. That's what overthrew him, partaking of the evil. Now notice this one thing, and you'll see what I'm saying. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, how was it? By thinking wrong. Is that right? It was thinking wrong. Somebody would say, no, Brother Pike, it was the evil that they did. No, that couldn't be right. See, that doesn't bear out according to Scripture. The Bible said, if a man look on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It is a spiritual thing. I say this again, human relationship is of God. I don't care whether it's adulterous, fornicators, whatever they are. When they mate together, God instigated that. Not that God put them in harlotry. The devil perverted the use, the virtuous, godly, holy use of reproduction. That should be pure and holy. He has pulled it down to the hog pens, made the people to wallow in the dust of the earth. The inspiration of human union, when they unionize, that is of God. It doesn't make any difference if it's in harlotry or whatever. The inspiration, that is the feeling of human reproduction in mating, is a part of human life. There's nothing degraded about that. But the spirit, that's where the problem comes in. There's a spirit that is causing the trouble. There's a perverted life, a rejection. Lucifer has perverted the thing, and it is the spirit of misuse. All right, let's look at it like this and see if that's true. First of all, we say a man goes hunting. Everything's fine. He likes to hunt. It's part of his life. He enjoys it. Nobody says anything about it because he's having a good time. That's what he likes to do. God allowed him to do that. So today he hunts and has a good time. Tomorrow he goes hunting again, having the same good time. He's out there killing squirrels or shooting or whatever. It's his part of life. But all of a sudden, he's in trouble. Why? Somebody comes by, they pick him up, or they shoot him, or they lock him up. What's wrong? He's doing nothing but hunting. The same thing he done the day before. So the wrong is not in the hunting. The thing is, he's trespassing, and he's on somebody else's property. He perverted the thing, and that's what got him in trouble. It wasn't the hunting. It wasn't the inspiration. It was that he violated the principles of mankind by trespassing and taking that to himself which was not his, or trespassing upon that which belonged to God. Now you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? He violated the rules and regulations of Almighty God, for the Bible said the bed of the married is undefiled in all, but the whoremonger and adulterer God will judge. And it says concerning the great city, no adulterer, no liar, no fornicator, no cheat, no robber, no murderer shall enter into that city. So then we see that the thing is a spirit. It is a spirit. The charge against you is not the union, because men and women do that in marriage. How can God charge you with something that he instigated? He couldn't do that, but the violation of the principles and you misusing that which God gave for life. So then he said, you don't have to unionize. He said, all you've got to do is just look and desire another person that isn't yours, and you're already a transgressor and a trespasser. For you have defiled the temple of the living God. For this body was made for me, the great Spirit of life, to dwell in. And you've let a thief in and a robber. You've let a fornicator, a liar, a cheat. You've let Satan, you've let Lucifer come into my temple and defile my temple. And if you defile my temple, God will destroy it because he cannot live in it. Thus the prophet said to David, David, a stranger came by. A stranger came by. But the Bible said, my sheep will not listen to the voice of a stranger. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. David didn't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was back there moving upon him, but it had not yet been made a gift because it had not yet been given into Jesus and not died for the remission of sin to sanctify the temple to where the Holy Ghost could abide in him. The blood atonement had never come yet. They were under that of bulls and goats. But the Bible does say in the book of Acts that these men prophesied as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, shall we see a stranger came by. Unionizing wasn't the fault. He said, David, you had many wives. If that weren't enough, I'd give you more. Said, but this man had one little wee lamb that he loved and he cared for. And said, this stranger came by and you took that man's one little lamb and slew it to satisfy that stranger. In other words, David, he said, a devil came over to your house and you invited the devil in and you literally killed the life that was given to this other man. You killed it, David, with your lust and with your passions. You fed this devil, the stranger, that took that inspiration through your body. David, thou art the man. So then we see the sword never did depart from David's house because of this. He had trouble and problems the rest of his days because he did this one thing. See how grievous it is in the sight of God. I said that to say this. A world is in the heart. Heaven is in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you come to the mind of Christ, and if he can believe, he can move mountains. He can raise the dead. If he thinks in his heart, he can do it. Jesus said, say what you will, and don't doubt in your heart, and it'll come to pass. Whatsoever that man saith, he shall have, if he shall believe in his heart and not doubt. But here's where the problem comes in. John said, beloved, hereby we persuade or assure our heart. The Bible said concerning Abraham, for Abraham was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. That's why he was called the father of the faith. Well, he didn't question God. Look at the case of Isaac. When he took Isaac up on the mountain, look at the testimony of this great Abraham. Down at the bottom of this mountain he stood. And he said to the people, now remember, God had given the charge that he must take his son, put him on the mountain, and sacrifice him unto God. And Abraham knew that God meant what he said, because God doesn't say things he don't mean. So then he said, Abraham, take that son, go offer him for a sacrifice. But Abraham remembered a promise of God. See, this is what we got to come to. When we're in problems, when everything's going wrong, when we have a dream, whatever it might be, if it seems to be contrary to what we want to do, or contrary to what we'd like to say, just remember God's promise concerning that thing. You may have a dream that you're going to die tomorrow, or your baby's going to die tomorrow, and it just tear you all to pieces, or somebody prophesied to you that you're going to die, or whatever it might be. See, but the thing is, say, but God, I remember a promise in your word, 32,000 promises. I remember a promise, and in that promise you said, I'll give you all things that pertain unto life. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I will fulfill the number of your days. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It was like when the prophet over there, Brother JT, this prophet said to the woman, you shall have a son. A son came, then the son died. This woman was frustrated, but she didn't give up hope. The prophet said, ye shall have a son. She said, but my son's dead. Where is my son if I'm to have my son? And the prophet was on the spot. And the prophet went back and said, oh God, what is this? You told me that the widow was to have a son and he's dead. The child is dead. And he prayed and he paced the floor, but a son didn't come back to life. He prayed, nothing didn't happen. But he held on to the word of God. God said the woman shall have a son. And the woman joined together with him. And two of them agreed that God had said it. Therefore, this death had to be an interference. It wasn't God. God hath no pleasure in death. God's word is the word of life, spirit. And so he prayed again and he said, oh God. And he put himself on the child. And he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And the child began to move. Hallelujah. What resurrected the child? It wasn't the prophet. It was God's word. He held on to his word. And God's word being spirit and life brought the child up. For the Bible said he sent his word and healed them. By his word he created the world. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To all generations that it's never changed. I get excited. So then, the word. Hear the word. Hear you the word of the Lord, the prophet said. So a world is a state of mind. What kind of mind do I have? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was that? He believed he was equal to God, but he didn't care for a reputation. He was satisfied. He knew he was equal with God. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew that he was born to God. I say this so often. If a dog begets dogs and a cat begets cats and elephants bring elephants into the world and lions bring lions into the world and men bring men into the world, they're born by men, then it's for sure if we're born of God, we've got to be gods. God begets God. We are born of God, the Bible said. We are sons of the living God, which makes us gods. Jesus said, you're gods. Why do you want to die like a man? I don't have any pleasure in death. Why do you want to die like a man when you're gods? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you really was a God, you wouldn't die like a man. If that be true, how many believe that Jesus was God? But he died like a man. Why did he do that? He didn't have to do that. Coming back to die for me, that's why he came back. He had done learned that secret that Paul spoke of. It was that Christ that discovered that secret. It was that Christ in the heart of Paul that revealed to Paul that secret that you don't have to die. And old Paul said, I finished the course. I fought a good fight. He said, I've run my race. Now there's eternal life, a crown of life for me. Look at it. According to the things that we preached in the past. And the angel said, time shall be no more. What do we mean, time shall be no more? Time shall be no more. What is time? What is time? Somebody say, what time is it? Rather than that, what is time itself? What does he mean, time will be no more? Time and eternity. Where did time come from, as we preached in the past? Where did it come from? What is time anyway? What is this thing that kills me? What is this thing that kills you? It is time. You may say I'm killing time, but really time is killing you. Time is what killed you. Before this world was, there was no time with God. You understand what I'm saying? There is a mystery being revealed. There is a trumpet sounding in our day. Time. There was no time before the world started. Time is nothing but that little span that reaches over from the beginning of the creation of the world that goes over to the consummation of the world. And I say again, how did it come into existence? By one thing. When Adam and Eve, when they listened to another voice, it was darkness. It was that which, what is darkness? That which is out of the presence of life and light. God is light. God is life. Anything out of the presence of that is darkness. That is, it is non-existent so far as God's world. Who was Lucifer? That angel that had been in the world of light, that was a living being to that extent, that had been put out of the presence of God. The contrast. God did that, as we brought it out on a tape here. God did that with Lucifer, the son of the morning, to be able to develop man and make a god out of him. That was the purpose of it. On some of the tape, we bring it out clearly, how it started, what happened, how it all ends. So then tonight, notice what we're saying. Time shatters the valley of the shadow. Lucifer between man and God. Lucifer, the cloud between the sun and between the earth. That little span of darkness from the evening until the morning. And he said, now it is the first day. From the tree of knowledge, the fall over to Calvary. And Calvary brought the morning, the first day. And Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. So then, as we said concerning Eve, the darkness fell over Eve. The darkness fell over Adam. For it was in the darkness that Eve was brought forth. It was in the darkness that she was taken out of the side of Adam. It was in the darkness that the church came forth at Calvary. It was when Jesus was made sin and the rock, the cleft of the rock was open. The water came out. The blood came out. The church came forth. It was a birth through the travail of Calvary. It was when Adam went to sleep that Eve was born. Therefore, what is the sin and the wrong? It is the woman. What is the woman? The carnal mind. What is that? It is human beings. Because in God's world, there is no woman. In man's world, there's a woman. There is no women in God's world. You know, we really need to understand this. That in God's world, woman does not exist. There is no woman in God's world. The Bible teaches that God created man. To God, woman is part of man. Said, love the woman as yourself. For you're not twain in the sight of God, the mystery of the church in Christ. Said, you're one flesh, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. For God has given me a woman, and she shall be called woman. She is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh. In God's world, just Adam existed. That's why Adam had to pay for the wrong. He had to pay for the wrong because it was Adam that God was dealing with. Adam was the one that was in the transgression. Yet the Bible said Adam was not in the transgression, in the sense that he was a type of Jesus. And Jesus only came to save the church, the woman, the church, the human being, not the spirit. It was the flesh that was in the transgression. Adam and Eve being a type to show us what really happened between humanity and between God. So then, the man was in the transgression in the sense that the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was charged with the transgression because he allowed his wife to do that. Now, so then we see what Paul was trying to tell us. I suffer not the flesh to do anything, he said. Let the woman keep silent. Let the flesh be quiet. Let the anointing speak, and the woman learn to be under subjection, as also saith the law. So then, when we want to learn anything, let this flesh learn from God at home in prayer and in secret, in calling upon the name of Jesus, and let us that is taught in the word communicate with him that is taught in all things. Now, when we see this, we know why the world is in darkness, all the way from Calvary, all the way from the garden down to Calvary. And the light doesn't come till Calvary. Then comes the kingdom of light. And we're translated into that kingdom of light. It is a state of mind. The light is now coming to the world, and this is the condemnation that is in the world. That light is now coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. That is the enlightenment, the understanding, the knowledge of Almighty God is at last come. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If I go away, you the church, you're the light of the world. That inward candle of man being the candle of the Lord, lighted by the Spirit of God, searching out the inward parts, being the light of the world. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. The condemnation that has come upon the world is that light, understanding, knowing that you're guilty of your wrongs, Jesus said. You know that you're guilty. I've come and told you that you was guilty. I've enlightened your understanding to let you know that I'm not pleased with your mannerism. But you still love to do it. You still love to do it. That is darkness, your intellectual desire of beastly passions. You love it better than you love the ways of God. The condemnation in the day of judgment is that understanding has come to you. I've enlightened your eyes and you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. Well, then that's the way God's going to judge us. We knew and wouldn't do. So He's going to condemn us and judge us on that very basis. A state of mind. Let's take an illustration. Look at Columbus. What did Columbus do? Columbus went over the ocean. Now look at the beauty of it. Columbus, he sailed the ocean. 1492, it was Calvary. Columbus, Noah. It was that great crossing. Over the boundaries of death, he went with the need of the pen of the Santa Maria. Jesus and the two thieves. Because one of them, if you remember, tried to get back to shore over there and take the glory from Columbus. And he died on the way. The other proved faithful. This day remember me if you go into paradise. What was it that Columbus requested? He requested something. What was it? A tenth of the spoil. He wanted to be governor of that which he discovered, and he wanted to be a nobleman. The same thing that Jesus requested. Pay a tenth unto Jesus of the spoil. It is His world. He discovered that new world. He was the one that brought it in. Pay a tenth unto Him, even unto Melchizedek the high priest, as Abraham paid tithes unto Him. Make Him a nobleman. That is, make Him one of the celebrities of the earth, as Columbus was made equal with Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand. Make an equality. Make Him Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let Him be one of the celebrities. As Ferdinand said, sit down with us and be equal with us. And the same thing occurred. Columbus left about 40 over there. They betrayed him. He had trouble with the Indians. He come back. Had to go to another island. Remember when he got in trouble there and everybody splitting up in splinters wanting to take the glory to themselves. Paul said, after my decease, grievous wolves shall rise up among you, not sparing the flock, leading men astray after them own selves. Now, I've got a flock, I've got a union, all united, but it'll be in splinters when I leave. So then, Columbus, he sent after help. A great leader came over to help him. A great man, the general, whatever he was. But when he come over, he turned on Columbus. He got out of the presence of the king. He come over there. He turned on Columbus. He saw a chance to get the glory. See, there's Lucifer trying to make himself equal. He says to Columbus, I am equal to the king and the queen. I have things under my control. I can say what I want to, do what I want to. Put him in chains. Jesus going down to the heart of the earth. Bound there. Calvary and death. The crossing of the mutiny and of the storms and the problems. Then going down to the heart of the earth. There he was. The 40 that betrayed him of the 40 days fasting in the wilderness and then down in the chains. But there came the day when he came up. There came the day when he was put on the ship. There came the day when he came back. There came the day when the queen cried, as we would say, and took away the shame, and he was made a nobleman, and he received the things that he was supposed to receive. See, he was made a governor over that, as Jesus was made a governor over that, as Joseph was down in the land of Egypt. So then we see the beautiful thing here. What are we trying to say in this? We could say much concerning it tonight. But what are we trying to say in the illustration of this? Speaking of the power to overcome death. Speaking of going over the boundaries of worlds. Speaking of a state of mind. Speaking of a discovery of a new world. Columbus had discovered a new world. What did Jesus do at Calvary? He discovered a new world. Isn't that right? Look at Jesus. He discovered a new world. But as it was with Columbus, not the beginning of the discovery showed us the new world. It was the end of America. Not the beginning of the discovery, but the end. Every age overlaps. An age from Adam to Noah, and it overlapped. An age from Noah to Calvary, and it overlapped. And we haven't got time to go in to show you what we mean. But from Calvary on over to the millennium, it overlapped. Now, what do you mean? I mean that it wasn't at Noah's time that we get our lesson concerning the water world and the destruction. That wasn't the beginning of it. That was the end of it. God made a covenant with Adam at the beginning. It was the water covenant. He lived off of the fruits. It wasn't at Calvary that blood seeds begin. That was the end of it. It started with Abraham in the days of Noah. He started offering the sacrifice, and it went through Moses' time, the spilling of the blood, and ended with Jesus. And the third covenant that was made with the angels, or the third heaven, the third realm, it wasn't at the beginning there that we get the lesson. It is when it overlaps, getting over to the millennium. Well, that is to say, we look at it today and we see the closing out of the age. But see, that isn't it. It started with a spiritual thing at Calvary. It isn't today that we're seeing it. It was back there that we see it. It is only today that we see it to the generations that are born today, and we who get our eyes open to that which was back there. That is, Columbus is the one that discovered America, but it was a wilderness. Now then, over here, it is not a wilderness. It is a paradise. Columbus's discovery of the new world. Look at Brother Branham. It's the same way. Brother Branham, he discovered a new world. He introduced a new world. But what was it? It's nothing but a wilderness of quotes. Even his books. All of his books has got I. He goes to say something. He says, And they didn't take any of that out. Where Satan interfered with the mind of Christ. And he just stumbled and staggered around. They didn't take any of that out of his books. It's a wilderness. All the way through, it's a wilderness. It's the same way with his hunting. He always talks about his hunting. He's got them on a hunting trip. He's got them like Moses in the wilderness. But look at it today. Here's the end of it. It's not a wilderness. Even the messages that we have here, we don't let them leave all of that in there. They take that out and stay with the Word of God and stay with the mind of Christ and try to eliminate all of those interferences. And we're not talking about hunting. We're not going into a forest. We are talking about the land of Canaan, not the wilderness. We are speaking of that which is clear, that which is serene, that which can be understood clearly. It's not a wilderness of a serpent message. Always in the wilderness, always tending to corruption, always to a bunch of quotes, always fighting and bickering and backbiting and trying to prove their point one to another. Always a baseness as devils and demons creep in to take advantage of such a teachings. See, the Adam side of it, the fall, the serpent. Not that those people are serpents, but the carnal mind is death. When you're carnally minded, that means you become the serpent, the body of flesh, a generation of vipers. Who are the generation of vipers? Israel was made a type of them when Jesus was made a type of the head of the serpent, lifting up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, that is Calvary. There was Jesus made sin and made the serpent in the sight of God so God could smite him as the first man Adam, and that Adam was that serpent. Adam was the son of God before his fall. But he was the serpent after his fall, the head of the serpent. In Adam all die, a generation of vipers. And then the regeneration in the Christ, the resurrected, in that Jesus was delivered as sin for my offenses, delivered up, raised up, resurrected up as the Christ for my justification in the sight of God. Coming forth as the second man Adam, the beginning of the creation of God, leaving the old serpent veil behind. Which has to do with Catholicism and the other things. Like I said, they say Blessed Mary. I agree that she's blessed, not the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus, the man part of Jesus. But at the same time, Mary sinned just like everybody sinned. You can't say, Blessed Mary, Mother of God. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one, not even Mary. The shadow of death, let me just comment just a little bit on the state of mind and we'll close. What is the world then? Columbus had discovered a world. What is the world? It's not comprehended till the end time. Jesus discovered it, but why is it we're not in Canaan? Brother, we've been in heaven ever since Calvary. Ever since Calvary, the law and the prophets were until then. Then the kingdom come and we've been translated into it. We have passed from death unto life. We are in a new world. We are not in the flesh. We are not in this world. He's chosen us out of this world. Hid us with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. How did he do that? Our inner being. The Bible calls it the inner man. The spiritual man. Our state of mind. Our understanding on the inside. It's not in the fleshly corruption of human desire and human abased things. It's not in those realms. It doesn't function within that. Our spirit, our mind, our life is interwoven with the Spirit of Christ within us. Thus the kingdom of God is within us. My spirit has been translated into the Spirit of God. And my spirit, my inner man, my life, my thinking is in the mind of Christ and in God's Spirit. And God's Spirit is heaven. So my spiritual being is there. This little body is nothing but a shell. I say this again. This is why God doesn't get all that excited when a person is killed. God doesn't get all that excited when a dead dog is laying along the road or a dead horse. Why? Because that's the mold. That's the shell. Now, God is excited over that life that went back to him at death. That life went back to him at death. If this body is not defiled, if this temple is not defiled, we'll receive it as a godly inheritance after it's changed to where we can manifest ourselves or we can be invisible. Whatever we desire to do like Jesus had walked through the wall. We can do these things if we take care of this body. Angels don't have bodies. That's why they use your bodies. The good angels minister to you inspirations of life, inspirations of joy and peace. At the order of God, in the presence of God. Evil angels make you feel sad. They make you feel sorrowful. They make you feel angry. You feel like they feel. When an angel comes into you, that's the way you feel. Whatever he is, that's the way you feel. Whether it's that old fault-finding, backbiting, accusing, whatever, that's the kind of spirit that's got you. Peter said, Nay, Lord, be it far from you. We're not going to let you die for the sins of the world. That's the way the devil was saying it. And Peter just did really. The Lord said, Get behind me, devil. Satan, I know that you've become interwoven with the mind of Peter. And I know Peter intends good when he says, Nay, Lord, be it far from you. We're not going to let anybody hurt you. But I know you, devil, and you're one of the worst kinds. One of the worst kinds that was ever in humanity. You are trying by Peter to get me into a melancholy state, get me to feel like I ought not to die so that all of humanity will be lost. If I fail to go to Calvary, all of humanity will be lost. That's the wretched, treacherous devil that you really are. No, I want to listen to you, Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. For this cause came I into the world to testify and witness of the truth and die that George Pike and Frank Taylor and the brethren and others throughout the world could be saved. Father, thy will be done. Now, when we think of a state of mind, what am I saying? Columbus had discovered a new world. Folks, this is a new world. Somebody would say, well, I don't get it. You know, that's because you're carnal. I'm trying to tell you, your outer man is dead by the knowledge of God. It is buried in a watery grave in the Son of God's name. You are dead by Calvary. You're gone. You don't live anymore. I'm not to know you after the flesh. That corruptible thing was repulsive in the sight of God. That old beastly image, he killed it and buried it. He smote it through Calvary. Reckon yourselves to be indeed dead unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus. That's what the writer tells us through the revelation. And alive by the resurrection of Christ. Alive to live unto God, to yield these members unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Now, look at it, a state of mind. Where am I at? I might say, well, I'm in the earth and I'm waiting on Jesus to come. Well, God bless your heart. I hope someday that you'll see him and get out of the earth. I'm up here in heaven. I'm here with Christ and God. I've done been raptured. I've done been translated. But the Bible said, God hath translated me into his marvelous kingdom, that kingdom that come at Calvary. I'm not in the flesh. That body's dead and buried. I went over the boundary of worlds. I went into the heavens with God. I am here with Christ. I say, I see you, Brother Pike, lying vanities, lying divinations. That's all it is. You don't see nothing. You don't see nothing. You just see lying vanities. All is vanity and vexation of the Spirit, Solomon said. You don't see me because the blood stands between you and I. But now if you didn't know me after the flesh and you saw me as a son of God, I could shake hands with you because we're both up here together. You know, we're fellers. But you that are critics and finding faults, you don't see nothing but a bunch of lying vanities. You couldn't see me because the Bible teaches I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and there's none good but God, and everyone is good that's born of God. And the Bible said you can't see when good coming, so you couldn't see me. Now, here we are in heaven. Somebody say hallelujah. Them that are in heaven, rejoice ye that are in heaven. The Bible said the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He that accused the brethren before God night and day. What is the rapture? Suddenly discovering that you made the rapture. Suddenly discovering that you're in heaven. Suddenly discovering your flesh don't have anything to do with it. That's just your inner man. It's your state of mind. You're different. You're changed. You passed over. You was translated into the kingdom in your spirit. Transformed by your mind into the heavenly places. And you're waiting for one instant change. Well, a change of Thessalonians, which is the transfiguration of your body. But brother, sister, what does the flesh have to do with it? I'm not in the flesh. That's buried. That's gone. I'm in heaven. I'm with my Savior. I made it over Jordan. I made it in. I was caught up to the throne when I was born. Now that I'm up here to rule with a rod of iron, even the word of God, his rod and his staff. So then, here I am in heaven. How did I get up here? I was translated into it. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you got to die. The Bible said, I passed from death unto life. That was back yonder that I did all of that at Calvary, and he buried me in that watery grave, just like they do a sailor. Now, what's this about being under tutors? You're under tutors till the time appointed to the Father. What is the time appointed to the Father? Calvary. For you were shut up under the law unto the faith. That was to be revealed after Calvary. What was the faith? The faith by which you're sanctified, even the faith of Jesus Christ. Now it's done come. You've discovered your Calvary. They, as Jews, came to Calvary, but they don't discover it to the end of the church ages because God blinded them. But you came into this faith. You're in this faith. You've come out of them under the law. For the Bible said they that are fallen from grace is under the law. But you're not under the law because you're born of the Spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is not in the flesh, and the law is over the flesh. Therefore death is in the flesh. It's not in the Spirit. You're born to live forever. For in heaven you're equal to the angels. In the Spirit you cannot die. Angels cannot die. So you understand what I'm saying? I pass from death unto life, and I'm alive forevermore. I once was dead, and they buried me. But I'm up from the grave now. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foe. So then, death being the foe, death being conquered, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. Death is back to the other side of Calvary. There is no death on this side of Calvary. There's no death to saints of God. They're in heaven. Lucifer's cast out. Where was he cast out? At Calvary. Jesus said, I beheld him fall as lightning from heaven. Down to the earth he went. He got over the water world. He come over the great deluge of Noah. But when he got to Calvary, God took his wheels off. Oh, Pharaoh lost his wheels there in the Red Sea, which symbolized the blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? He lost those wheels right there. And the Lord said, just stand still and see my salvation, for this is Calvary. Isn't that right? Took the wheels off and left them right there. So then, where are we at, brother, sister? We are in heaven. Are we going to be raptured? No, there ain't no such word in the Bible. You don't get no such word in the Bible to rapture. You're changed from light to light, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, from inspiration to inspiration. As we behold as it was his face in a mirror, seeing his glory, and his glory changes us. Did you know glory changes you? Did you know that? When glory touches you, glory changes you. Christ in you, that glorious hope, it's changing you from within, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. You're changed. Even like Moses, till his face shone, even like Jesus, until he appeared in glory, fully changed there in glory. Paul into the third heaven. Enoch then went away. Brother Branham illuminated. You understand what I'm saying? That light penetrating wisdom makes a man's face to show or shine. So then we're saying a state of mind. What is a state of mind? Them people that are in the world, it is because the world is in them. The world is in them. How did I get out of the world? God took it out of me. How did I get into heaven? He put it in me. The kingdom of heaven is in me. It's a state of mind. As a man thinketh, so he is. That's his world. That's why God has got to get the saints out of here in a bodily change. Why? Because they're in heaven. Their conversation is in heaven. They're thinking heavenly. What is that going to do? It's going to change everything around them. If God don't do something, they'll change the trees. They'll change the water. They'll change everything. Their thoughts become creative. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Ask what you will. Say what you will. Don't doubt in your heart and it'll be done. That's what those two prophets are going to do. Just say what they will. Folks, and we're discovering this more and more. See, we are gods. We're heavenly creatures. We don't have an intellectual education of a brainstorm here of science, knowledge, falsely so-called. Trying to theorize that there's a man on the moon this year and theorizing next year that we was wrong in our theory. We don't have some kind of theory or theology. We're not looking for theses. We've got absolute facts and proof. We're not interested in her story or history. His story. We're interested in God's story and what God has to say about it. That's what we're interested in. So then we pass from death unto life, folks. Where are we at? I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. What about that body? It ain't got nothing to do with it. Just don't let sin reign in it. It ain't got nothing to do with it. What can I do with it? Take it on home with you like Enoch did. Why not? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be in the dust. We're not serpents. We shall not all sleep because I'm not sleepy. People that get drunk and sleep in the night. We're not children of the night. We're children of the day. Folks are not supposed to get sleep in the day. Folks that get sleep in the day, Brother JT, something wrong with them. But this angel said time would be no more. Who was that angel? He was Revelation 10. Where was he? Standing at Calvary. That was him when he stood one foot in the spirit and one in the flesh. Right there. He stood on the land and on the sea and he raised his hand to heaven and swear by God. Jesus said, "It is finished, Father. There won't be no more time." That angel with that covenant over his head in that cloud of glory. There he stood right there. He said, "That's the end of it." That was the woman of Revelation 12 that was in travail with the crown of the 12 apostolic leaders as his crown and praise on his head. That was that flesh, that woman. That was the travail of that man-child, you and I, that was born into the Spirit, caught up into the kingdom of heaven where we stay the very minute that we're born. Getting past that old second heaven where the woman is in travail, down there in that blood realm where the red dragon is. We're the ones that went up there. That old red dragon of the blood life sitting around trying to make a football star out of us. That old blood life had come into the presence of God by grace into that second heaven. It says, what about Job? That when it comes in says you need to be a movie star and you need a career. And what you need to do is be thus and thus and thus. Trying to devour the man child. Get him in that old carnal mind of death just as soon as he's born. But we're up here in that third mind, the mind of God, not the mind of Lucifer, Not that second rim of angels. We're not down there in that beast mind. We're not down there in man's mind. We're in this third mind, that state of mind heaven, the third heaven. Paul said, I was caught up into that revelation, the unveiled. See, that's where we're at. We're in heaven, folks. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. For Lucifer was cast out on the other side of Calvary. He was cast out into the earth. Revelation 12. Where is the woman? Where is the woman? She went into a wilderness. That's what it had to do with him, 606 to 1520. Back over there in the dark age, America, when she went into a wilderness, a place prepared for her. And the child went up to the throne. What a beautiful sight if we just had time to go into it. What happened to the woman? It was the Jew. The body of Jesus went out of the presence of God. Went into what? A wilderness, a place prepared for her. How long? Over the church ages, at times, time and a half of time. Going through there to come back at the end of the church ages. Isn't that right? The woman bears her child, and then after that she goes out of the presence of her husband. She stays there till the time of the purification. Then when she goes through the process of the purification, she can go into the presence of the king. Isn't that right? So then it is a beautiful thing to realize that, as Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The old world passed away with Noah. That was the end of the world to them people. Then he said, Calvary is the end of the world to you people. And here we are in heaven at the end of that world. And now we've done come over here, and by grace, God has allowed Lucifer to continue on in the heart of men, though he was cast out. God has made allowance for him. In the sense that grace is over humanity for the church age period. As long as grace is over it, that means that sinners are not yet cut off. Lucifer can come into the heart of a sinner and continue on through the days of grace, but he's powerless. His fangs was taken out at Calvary. Hallelujah. He's just a big bluff running around. He can't do nothing. Death has been conquered. Him that hath power over death has been destroyed. Behold, I show you a mystery. You don't have to wait until the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death don't have any power. Brother Pike, the Bible says, Revelation 19, the first resurrection. My brother, the first resurrection was when they broke the grave at Calvary, and the first resurrection, the resurrection himself came out and brought the people out with him, and it's just not made manifest until Revelation 19, because people only register on paper in their record what they see. And he went away, and they can't see them resurrected saints, and they can't see him, the resurrection, and when he comes back in Revelation 19, they're just going to acknowledge what already happened to you and I at Calvary. That's all. They'll just see him then, and they'll say, it's so, I see it with my eyes. You know, Thomas, blessed is he that hath not seen and yet believe. Mary, I am the resurrection. My brother's going to live in the resurrection. He said, it's already come, Mary. It's already here. Overthrowed some of them's faith, Paul said, by preaching that the resurrection was past. The devil had love for us to believe that. But my brother, this resurrection don't pass. It's forever from now. This is the resurrection. Jesus said, I am, not I was. I am, not I'm going to be. I am. I am happy about this situation. You love Jesus? Praise God. Why should I keep waiting and waiting? Under Tutus till the time appointed of the Father. What is the time appointed of the Father? When you recognize what he done for you at Calvary. When you wit, that is when you're not at your, well, you're at your wit's ends. That is when you get witty enough to learn that he'd done it all for you at Calvary, that you already have it to wit the redemption of the body. That's what brings Thessalonians change. Old brother Enoch witted it right quick and went on up. Elijah got to witting and he went on up. Paul got to witting and went up in the third heaven, decided he had to come back, said it. Better to be with God. I have a longing to be there, but it's needful for me to be here for a while. Jesus did the same thing, went up into glory and come back to finish some work that he had to do down here. You love Jesus? How many of you believe that you done passed from death unto life? Sure we have. We could say a lot about that, and we have said a lot on some tapes, different things. But folks, it's a state of mind. How do you think tonight? What are you thinking on? How do you think tonight?
Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. He said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? That is the wrong kind of thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Enoch thought himself slap out of this realm, didn't he? Elijah did the same thing. Jesus did the same thing. Paul did the same thing. Paul said, well, I'll confess, I don't know whether it was in my body or out. I never could figure it out. But he did say to be absent from the body is to be present with God. How many of you absent from the body tonight? I'm not in the flesh. I'm not in the flesh. Present with God, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the change of the body, the restitution. That is the millennium restoring. It's a beautiful thing, my brother. The only people that's going to go in what the world calls a rapture is them that's already been raptured. Ain't nobody else going. This is from glory to glory and light to light. Amen. If you're not already in heaven when that last trump sounds, you ain't going nowhere. That's right. It's just these that's already up there that's waiting to come back with him. The Bible says that he'll return. The saints, they'll come back with him. They'll come back with him. That's what caused Enoch to be raptured. And I saw the Lord with 10,000 of his saints. He looked slap down through the Old Testament and the New Testament, down through that Revelation, and looked over at Revelation 19, said, I see him coming with thousands of saints. So he just took a shortcut and went on home. He didn't have to go through the wilderness. He could do that. You know how he could do that? The law had not been affected, had not been made effective. Therefore, there was no sin. By faith, he went on. Moses, Elijah's got to die and come back because they were under the penalty of the law. And the law requires death. But did you know that today we're on this side of Calvary? There ain't no sin today. We're like Enoch. Enoch was type of the church, seventh from Adam. We're over here. There ain't no law over here. The law's been taken away. We can just go on like Enoch did. Paul said, this is a mystery. You'll find it out. Just go on home like Enoch did. A whole lot of people are going to do that. You love Jesus? You know the difference? What's going to cause it to be an instantaneous change? If we fill this room with gas, nobody knew anything about it, couldn't smell it, and all of a sudden close all the doors, fill it full of gas, and let the last one in if we was waiting for 100, and then somebody strike a match and we'd all go home together. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't but one reason that it's unanimous, a change altogether, is because people just can't believe like Enoch did. Amen. And so we're waiting for that last one to come in. And when that last one comes into the ark, you know what's going to happen? The dead in Christ is going to rise. And that's going to be the flame that sets their faith off. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why should God let them rise first? If you don't let them get up first, you won't have enough faith to make it. It's them getting up out of the ground that's going to cause you to believe. And the dead in Christ are going to get up out of the ground and say, my God, there goes my dad and my moms. That inspiration is going to shoot through you and going to say, glory to God, this is the resurrection. But that preacher's been telling you for years and you can't believe it. Oh, Brother Enoch, there ain't no need to wait for all of that. Just going home anyway. Here's a little illustration here. Man trying to convince another man to work. He got him real enthused. The man didn't do, you know, he's just a loafer. The man said, now look, go to work. He said, all right. He said, look what you could have. He said, have this, have that. And the man got carried away. He said, I could work. He said, sure. He said, I could save up money. He said, sure. He said, I have a whole lot of money. He said, sure. He said, now I wouldn't have to work. He said, sure. He said, oh, I won't go through all that. I ain't doing it no way. He wasn't working no way. We had no need to go through a wilderness. Old Brother Enoch just said, let's take it like it is, you know. The Lord said it, yea and amen. Folks, why can't we do that? Behold, I show you a mystery. You're not under the law anymore. You're like Enoch. You're in heaven. Believe it or not, you are. It just ain't been revealed to you yet. That's all. That's all. And I'm speaking to the sons and daughters of God. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. Lucifer ain't up there. Lucifer's not in heaven. He said, well, why do I have so much problem, Brother Pike, if he's not up here? is because you always, you know how people are about ghosts? There's some people scared to death of a ghost and there ain't no such a thing around. But they live a nightmare. Isn't that right? It's a ghost here and headless horsemen's over yonder. And balls of fire rolling around everywhere. I know, I come up under some of that. My grandma was an Indian, a lot of Indian in her. She saw everything. But you know what? Ain't none of that around. There's some ghost, all right. There's some ghosts. There's some demons. I learned about them, and I ain't afraid of them. Them headless horsemen, I didn't know nothing about. I never did learn about them. It's a wonderful world, folks. Did you know that? When you come up here where I'm at, it's a wonderful world. God said, come up here, John, there's a door open in heaven. Come on in. And John did. Paul did. Enoch did. Come on up here, folks. There's a door open in heaven. No need to stay down there where the devil is. This message is coming forth. This knowledge is coming forth. This state of mind is coming forth. Why? Lord's transforming your mind. Be therefore transformed from that old world to the new world. We've discovered a new world. I'm in that new world. Somebody said, this is beautiful. All we have to do is just believe or make believe that we're in that new world. See, we've all passed over and we make believe that we're in that new world. And if we'll make believe we're in that new world, we can just pacify ourselves until we get into that new world. No, I'm not talking about that. Believing, making believing, or unbelieving. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about some kind of myth where you make believe and pacify yourself. Folks, I mean that your inner man is the only form of life there is. Your shell ain't nothing. There ain't no life in your body. That ain't nothing. You say, well, I feel pretty much alive, Brother Pike. Yeah, but I'll tell you what. Let that life leave that body and let them put you in a casket and see how much you feel. There ain't no life in that body. It's in the spirit. And if that spirit has already gone into heaven, then that means that shell ain't nothing. Why let it aggravate you and let the devil aggravate you through it? The Bible said don't let sin reign in your mortal body. You're free from that flesh. You're free from the body. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. That inner man went away into heaven, folks. When you was born again, you said, well, what's all this preaching about? All this tutoring, Brother Pike? What's all of this time of waiting? One thing, and that is to indoctrinate you, to develop you, to prove to you, to make you understand, to reveal to you who you are and where you are. Like a little child. He don't know nothing. He just goes and crawls around, but after a while he learns he's in a world. There's duties and responsibilities. Did you know the people could have went into Canaan right at the very start? They didn't have to go through that wilderness. Brother JT, it was unbelief. Moses said, come on, folks. No, I'm afraid of them giants. I can't believe nothing like that. He said, all right, take 40 years and we'll teach you some and develop you some, train you some, and then after that, you know. That's all it's for, folks, is to let you know what Jesus done at Calvary. When you believed in it, that's all. That took care of it. But the Holy Ghost, the precious Holy Spirit of Christ within you, is to guide you into all truth and righteousness, reveal these things to you. That's what the beginning and end of the church age is. It's just the tutoring. By the time the end of the church age comes, the last generation has been born. It went through their little span of tutoring. Every other generation before you took their little 30 or 40 years of tutoring. But why do we have to keep waiting around? Children now, at 11, 12, 13 years old, they know as much as people at 60 years ago. See, God's narrowing it down. Some of you that's just coming in, why go through a wilderness like the rest of them? Why not accept what God said and let's go on home together? Ain't no need of you staying around for 60 years so some more can be born to stay around for 60 years. Let's get the thing over with. You understand what I'm saying? I told you some of you wouldn't understand what I was saying when I started. But there's a new world. We've discovered a new world. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That inner you, that state of mind, that heaven, the flesh profiteth nothing, not nothing. Why not breathe that breath of heavenly air? Oh God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I made it over into this world and I'm here now, and that other one is behind me and it's all gone. And oh dear God, don't let me have no flashbacks. I don't want to think on it no more. I don't want no flashback. Every time I have a flashback, it's just tormenting. Oh, Lucifer just torments me with the past, forgetting those things that are behind. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? You'll find out I'm telling you the truth. The rapture, as you call it, is but one thing, and that is all of a sudden, you'll discover what you've always been. What have I always been, Brother Pike? Since Calvary now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It just don't appear what you'll look like because of that bodily change. You won't go ahead and get it over with like Enoch. Say, well, we all got to wait, Brother Pike, till we all get together for that Thessalonian change. Yeah, I know it. Because we just can't get up enough faith to believe until the dead comes out of the grave. And God isn't going to bring the dead out of the grave until the last one comes in. When the last one comes in, then he'll bring the dead out of the grave. Isn't that something? And then we'll believe. But you know, folks, you've got to remember this one thing. There's something that will loose the dead. You know what will loose the dead? The conquering of death. You know what the conquering of death is? To wit, the redemption of the body. When we get this message, the mystery, we shall not all sleep. Some of us are going to say, my God, Lord, death don't have no power over us. What is that horrid thing that's been threatening us? Let's look at it right hurriedly and see, just a reminder. What is death? What is death? I was alive without the law, without the law. When the law came, sin revived and I died. What is death? Death is separation from life. Where are you at right now? You're in life. Somebody said, well, when God writes my name down in that book of life, I don't want him to blot it out. Brother, when you were born with life. You got life. Let's just pray that God don't blot it out. Let's pray that we can just make that transition. Go right on into that eternal stage of life. That we won't be blotted out. The soul that sins, the one's going to quit living. That's the one that goes out of this book of life. You understand what I'm saying? So then, the sting of death is sin. But we don't sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. That's why he's passed from death into life, because he cannot sin. You can't kill a son of God. He's a God. Gods don't die. They're equal to angels. You understand what I'm saying? He that is born of God, he cannot sin. The seed of God remaineth in him. He can't sin. The sting of death is sin. How can you then die? How can you die? You can't sin. And you have to sin to die. The soul that sins shall die. Therefore, Satan don't have any power over the sons of God. You can't sin. Why is it you can't sin? He sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. What does that mean? He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glorified them. They pass from death unto life. That is, they pass from the flesh to the spirit. And death is because of the sinful flesh. The body of Jesus died for us. That ended it. As in Adam all die, one man, that's all it took. And death come upon all of us. And yet we're not done like Adam. But we had to die. So then why do we have to do anything to live? Death come by one man, so life come by one man, Jesus Christ. If I didn't have to do like Adam to die, and yet I died, what do I have to do like Jesus to live? He done it. He done it. I live because of what he done. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God because of what Jesus did. So, well, what am I trying to live right for, Brother Pike? How could anybody that have eternal life not love his image and Savior so much that he'd want to be like him in every reflect of his body? to love Him and conform to Him. That brings about the redemption of your body. But life is there before the body is redeemed, my brother. God give you life in your spirit, but you got to do something to redeem that body. Did you know it? From glory to glory. To present your body, soul, and spirit blameless before God. Save yourselves from this unworthy generation. So, I said all that to say this. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we just going to stand around and accept death when we can't die? Ye are gods, but ye shall die. Die like men. Why? Because you don't believe you're gods. Can a God die? Jesus was God in the flesh, but He died. He tasted death in the flesh. That inner man can't die. He's passed from death unto life. What death? The second death. The lake of fire. Separation from God. Your spirit, your angel, can't never be separated from God. That's all took care of. You're eternal. As much eternal as you'll ever be in your inner man. You can't go into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You pass from that death unto life. But brethren, I'm not talking about that death. I'm talking about sleep. The Bible said Lazarus went to sleep. Behold, I show you mystery. There's no need for us to sleep in the body. I'm talking about the body of what you call the first death. Ain't no need to go to sleep. If you're eternally alive forevermore in your spirit, why bother to go to sleep in your body? Why let the infiltration of darkness come into your being? Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. No need to let it go to sleep. I'm talking about a mystery now. You know why Eve sinned? She wouldn't listen to Adam. Now, this might sound shocking, but today they have learned that men can bear children like women. What does that mean? Adam, both masculine and feminine. It means that the feminine part is returned back into the masculine. It means that Christ and the church has become one. It means the redemption of the body is here, and Eve has gone back to Adam, and the world is at an end. That's what it means. So then, let's enjoy the redemption of our body. The song says, the day of redemption is near. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. It's the signs that those prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O despairs, to your own. For the day of redemption is near. How many of you believe that the day of redemption is near? It's more than that, folks. The day of redemption is here. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, lamps trimmed and clear, for the day of redemption is here. Can you sing it? Oh, the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. Raise it just a little bit for you. Let's sing it together, can we? Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors and return, dispersed to your own. For the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. You know, Lucifer knows that a world is a state of mind. That's how he started this world you're living in. He took Adam from that state of mind that God had him in, run him through the tree of knowledge. Thus it became another world, because it became another state of mind from the knowledge of the tree. And he's still educating and educating. You know what he's trying to do? Change the world. Change it in what way? Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, though thou climbest up to heaven, though you may land on the moon with your carnal ability called science, but I'll cast you down to hell, Lucifer. He's trying to get back into that place. He wants to make his nest among the stars, to be between God and man, to rule from the high places. That's what he wants to do. The more he can educate man, the more man transforms in his mind. The more man transforms, the more his world changes to convenience. Look at these big, tall skyscrapers. Look at these big, swinging bridges. Impossible. It's impossible to build those things. Many years ago, they just said, "You're crazy. It's not possible to go from here to the stars, to span the part of the rivers and the ocean the way you're doing it." But by believing, they could do it. You know how they could do it? God made this statement. When they partook of the tree of knowledge, he said, "Get them out of here. Get them out of here. They're no longer overshadowed by the Shekinah glory of God as the innocent that know nothing." He said, "They're one of us. Like one of us now. They're a God. Lucifer has brought them up to an angelic level," which was the plan of God all the time. You know that. The revelation shows it. It appears that man fell from that beautiful life to a lower level of beast life. But all he ever had was an overshadowing to give him a state of mind to where he could just taste of that heavenly life in that third heaven. It is true that he fell to the extent that the light was lifted, but he never was of that world to begin with. He was made out of the dust. He was on a lower level. He was of the world of vegetation and dust. He didn't fall. What he did, he went up. He went up to a second level, from the dust level, from the water rim to the blood rim.